I'm sitting here behind the microphone of Radio Resonance, because that's why you're listening to Radio Resonance in London, a great station.
Vous écoutez une transmission du programme Longueur d'onde avec Guillaume Anglais sur la poste radio Resonance, modulation fréquence 104,4 MHz à Londres. Voi sentite una trasmissione radio del programma Lunghezza d'onda con Guglielmo Inglese sulla stazione Risonanza, modulazione frequenza su 104,4 MHz a Londra. Sie hören der Radioprogramm Wellenlänge mit Wilhelm Englisch vom Sender Resonanz. Frequenzmodulation 104,4 MHz in London. You are listening to the radio broadcast Wavelength with William English on the station Resonance 104.4 FM in London. Wavelengths is sponsored by Fotheringay and Braithwaite's organic homemade ferret flavoured chutney zum wohl. How lovely. Wavelength is sponsored by Fotheringay and Braithwaite's. What wonderful English names, aren't they? Fotheringay. Nobody but the English could have a name like that. Do you know Fotheringay or Braithwaite? What?
And this is all a Fluxus.
Yes,
this strip.
One of the earliest. Yes.
Like a Fluxus advertisement, yeah. Isn't it?
Yes.
For George,
yes.
McInnes.
And he typed it also, not
really?
Only designed. With Jackson McLaugh, the poet, and George typed also the text.
Yeah. But I was going to say, are we okay to start?
Yes, yes, we're rolling.
This, to me, it's an absolute crucial document.
Yes.
Because
yes,
this is,
yes,
such an important document in, yes, that it's you as editor,
yes,
George McInnes, the designer,
yes,
and of course it's Stan Brakhage's essay,
yes,
on metaphors,
yes,
on vision. Which, and two of you are Lithuanians, of course. McInnes, was he
McInnes? It's pronounced
McInnes. But he was also Lithuanian.
Yes.
Yeah, originally.
Yes.
So this is like a sort of great conflux of coming together of three individuals, and it's a great item. It's a wonderful piece of design with the sort of see through eye of the eye of Brakhage and so on. And the essay, of course, is a sort of seminal essay.
Yes.
The pronunciation, that was my first question. I used to visit the cinema bookshop in London. I don't know if you ever remember that. It used to be on Great Russell Street. It's now closed, which used to be run by someone called Fred Zettner. And I would always ask for books on avant-garde film. I used to go in there and ask him for books, anything on experimental film, which he hardly ever stopped them. He never had them to stop. It was always Hollywood, you know. But the section gradually expanded to maybe 20 titles. And then one day he greeted me, saying that he had been reliably informed that the correct pronunciation of Jonas Mekas was Honas Mekas.
That would be in Hungarian.
Oh, that's, you're absolutely, he is Hungarian, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. But in Lithuanian, it is Jonas Mekas. Jonas Mekas.
Jonas Mekas.
It's very narrow.
Yeah.
Narrow E.
Jonas Mekas.
Still.
No?
The second
one. Jonas Mekas.
Short and narrow.
Short and narrow.
Ma. Not ma.
Oh.
Ma.
Ma. Ma. It's almost like a two A's. Ma.
Or closer.
Mekas.
You say it slow and then and speed it up.
Jonas?
That's correct.
Mekas.
Ma. And not ma. Oh. Ma. Now say it faster.
Jonas Mekas.
Very close.
Okay.
Very close.
Okay, good. Well, we've got that out of the way.
But you see, I became Jonas because in English, in New York, a lot in the line that J, they will never pronounce it. Yo, always J, J,
yeah,
Jo.
Yeah. Yes, Joe.
And Ma, that sound does not exist, as you can see.
Yeah. How difficult it's quite
it
difficult.
Is. Yeah. So it became more Mekas or Mekas.
Yes.
And yes. I used to, for some time I tried to correct, and then I gave up. It's
yeah.
waste of
time. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
It does not matter really.
No.
I got my warrant in Mississippi cleared up recently. That was good to get that out of the way. I played a show. A guy came up to me and said, "I'm a big fan of yours. I'm from Jackson, Mississippi." And I said, "Oh man, I've got a warrant there." And, oh, you know what a warrant is? That's when John Law is looking for you. That's a weird experience. I got pulled over. I was driving that car in the movie. And I had always driven through Jackson, Mississippi, and there's this big white building that looks like a castle on the top of this hill. And I always thought, what the hell is that building? You know, like it bothered me. But I never took action on my curiosity, and as I get older, I become less inhibited about those kind of things, and I just say, okay, I'm going to drive up there and see. So I was driving through, and I saw it and said, forget it, I'm going up there. And I drove up there, and it was a giant supermarket. And it, if you can imagine, 3 o'clock in the morning, the largest supermarket you've ever seen, and there were 3 cars in the parking lot. And one of them was the identical car to the car I was driving in that movie, which you can see me sitting on right back there. If you look back, you'll see the car. That's it. Well, not really the whole thing. If you really want a weird experience. Anyway, so I parked right next to it. I thought, well, if this fellow's drunk when he comes out, this will really screw with his brain. Because they were identical in every way. And those are rare cars, you know? special cars, magic cars. So I went in and I got some food. I got a poppy seed cake and I got a salad. And I came out and the other car was gone. You know, no funny notes on there like, ha ha ha, you got me or anything like that. And I climbed in the car and I hit the interstate and I got it up to about 60 and blue lights come on, which is no good. And cop pulled me over and he said, you know that it's a 50 mile an hour zone here. And it had just been 75 before the bridge that I'd gotten off. So this is what you get when you're curious. This is the reward you get for being curious. I pulled off and they had a sign in the middle of the bridge which changed the speed from 75 to 50. And so he searched my car. Mind if I take a look around your car? If I say no, he's going to take me to jail, so I let him look around. And as he's taking the car, you know, apart, basically, he gets to the trunk. And I had planned, it was near the 4th of July, and I had planned to decorate the car as a submarine for the 4th of July. So it was full of lots of little submarines, plastic submarines, and all kinds of strange tubes and stuff. And if ever contraband was going to be smuggled in something, it was one of those things that I had. And he got really excited, and he called his supervisor, and his supervisor came out, and they both tapped around the car, and where are you going, and asked me questions about, you know, what my name was, where I live, where I was going, and they would try to trick me. Like I said, I was going to Augusta, Georgia from Dallas, Texas, and they'd say, so you're going to Dallas from Augusta, huh? Ooh, that's crafty. So after an hour sitting on the side of the highway, this busy interstate highway, which you would call a motorway, they let me go. And they looked very unhappy that they were letting me go. They wrote me a ticket for speeding, which made me mad because I wasn't really speeding that much. And they let me go. And as I left, the nicer of the two cops said, watch out tonight, we're out. Okay. So I drove away, and about 20 miles down the road in a completely different city, way up ahead on the Lonely American Highway, the archetypal Lonely American Highway, flat, pine trees on either side, and not a soul around, I see some taillights on the side of the road. So I know, okay, it's a speed trap. I was going 55 miles an hour, which was the speed limit in this place, but I slowed down to 50 just to be sure. And sure enough, it was a cop. Took me about 20 minutes to get there because I was going so slow. And I went by him and didn't think much of it. And 15 minutes later, I noticed, you ever get that bad feeling when you're driving like something's wrong behind you? Well, it turns out there was a car that had come up right next to me. It was pacing me. Pacing, I guess you have that word in English, right? He was going the same speed as me, but he was about a half a car length behind me. And I looked in my rearview mirror and it was a cop. So I slowed down a little bit, not knowing if I was in a 50 or a 75 because of the tricky signs they have in Mississippi. I slowed down and he slowed down. So I sped up and he sped up. It was like some little motorized river dance thing, you know. And finally he turned on the blue lights and he pulled me over. And I pulled over and I stuck my head out the window as he was walking up and I said, is there a sign on the back of my car or something that says, arrest me? And he said, why? And I said, I just got pulled over in Jackson, Mississippi. And he said, oh, them Jackson cops are assholes, aren't they? And my inclination was, after they kept me on the side of the road, was to say yes. But something in my mind said, say no. So I said, no, he was actually really nice to me. And he said, uh-huh. Well, license and registration. And I gave it to him, and it was all, what was funny was, it was all fraudulent. My license was in a state I didn't live in. My insurance was, my con artist nephew got it for me and it wasn't real. And the registration wasn't real and the car belonged to a divorcee who gave it away to spite her husband because it was his car. So all of these things were hanging. I was just waiting to get hauled off to the pokey the first time, much less the second time. And he came back and he said, well, your paperwork seems to be in order. Do you mind if I take a look around the car? Well, the other one looked around it for an hour. How long do you think you're going to take? I asked him. And he said, oh, it won't be too long. I've got a dog with me. And dogs don't ride with cops normally. So this was kind of strange. So he got the dog out and he started running around the car. And I thought, well, this is a setup. And I started thinking about that car in the parking lot. And I have a feeling what happened was But I was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and there was a tip on a white Chevy Impala coming through that had drugs or guns or, you know, who knows what, liberal literature. And they were supposed to pull them over and find whatever, and instead they found little plastic submarines. So he opened the trunk and he found the little plastic submarines, and the dog was sniffing around the trunk, and when he took him to the front of the car, the dog went crazy. The dog had found something. And what was it? My poppy seed cake. Because you know what poppies are, right? They have those here in England. Found my poppy seed cake. All right, so here's the weird part of the story. You know, after everybody laughed about the dog finding the poppy seed cake and the cops setting me loose, I called my manager the next morning, Sylvia was her name, and I said, Sylvia, I got pulled over last night. It was just like that movie, The Wrong Man, by Alfred Hitchcock. It's a great film. And she said, what did you say? And I said, you know, the movie The Wrong Man. And she said, what time did you get pulled over? I said, it was about from about 12 till about 2 in the morning. And she said, I was watching that film last night from 12 to 2 in the morning. That's the story.
We're flying blind here.
Let's see what happens. Okay. I'd like to introduce my drummer to you, Mr. Digitech. He's with me, courtesy of all those people who downloaded my album for free last time. Let me go.
because today is a perfect day to chase tornadoes. Sunshine is opera. Sometimes I'm glad I built my mansion from crazy little stone. Sometimes I feel so goddamn trapped by everything that I know. And I wish it wasn't so, 'cause the only thing that anyone should ever know.
Wavelengths is sponsored by Fotheringay and Braithwaite's organic homemade ferret flavoured chutney. Zum wohl! Yeah!
Cash.
Everything about a sailor is connected with the sea. Even when he comes home.